MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Kazi and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with Jay Fox.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Elton Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in the More Like Radio live page, listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcast from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening and Merry Christmas, everyone. Hopefully you're okay wherever you listen to this. Hopefully you're listening live, I say, because it's Christmas Eve and most of you have got fuck all else to do. So you should be listening to me live on morelikeradio.com/live. I say Tuesdays every day, every week, 8 UK time and 3 p.m. I think Eastern time. But I say next week is the last show for a little while I take a hiatus. But I say next week as well is the Game of the Year show. So, you know, facebook.com/groups/MLR Gamer Lobby. It's the pin post there, top of the thing as soon as you get in there. That is for you where people should submit their Game of the Years. You know, you've had a week to think. You've got another week to go before I actually do the show. Like Royce has put his submission in already. So the rest of you, there's nothing to hold you back. You should all get in there and, you know, what you've been playing this year, what you think is the best game, let me know and I'll read it out next week. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to doing the Game of the Year show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's one of my favourite times of the year. But I say, you know, just go over the few announcements and bits and pieces as usual. So, you know, if you want to email the show, you can email us at antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You've always had the group, so I don't need to tell you that. Also, you can like us on Facebook. Had a few of them to that, this past week, mainly because I spammed the official PlayStation Facebook page with the show's page and got a few more there. So basically, it's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And as it's Christmas, a few of those would be appreciated. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at @MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I say a few announcements this week. A brand new show has joined the MLR family. We have The Orange Show. A really good show, I've been told. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. They were on the other week. On the other day. I think I was sleeping or passed out drunk. I can't remember. But yeah, a really good show. And, you know, we're proud to have them as part of the MLR family. Also, as you all know, Cousin Joe from the Cousin Joe Show, he's got his very own, I was going to say CD, but it's not. He's got his very own, we can say it's sort of CD, his very own album now of his prank calls. And to download this, you go to cousinjoeshow.com and basically all he's asking for, the minimum of a $5 donation. Basically, minimum $5. You can pay more. I'd recommend it. Download all, you know, it's like 120 minutes. No, it's an hour and 20 minutes long. It's about 21 tracks of his prank calls. Everyone says it's really funny. I haven't had a chance to download it yet, but I will do as soon as I get a chance. But yeah, go on there, basically. It's not, you know, going straight into his pocket. It's basically going to help, you know, buy new equipment, keep up the show, pay the internet costs. You know the basic stuff. It's not cheap to do all this sort of stuff. But, you know, send him as much money as you want to give him and you'll have a decent hour and 20 minutes of laughing yourself silly. But, yeah, I'll say, Game of the Year show next week. I'm looking forward to it. I think I know what mine is. I think I've sort of known for a couple of weeks. It's not going to please everyone, I'll say that. I can't remember how I did it last year, if there was like a sort of countdown, but I think in the stuff that I've played this year, I'm pretty much going to go over sort of most of what I have been playing, but I don't really have, I have a number one, but I don't really have two, three, four, you know, that sort of thing. It's basically me talking about the things that I've played and enjoyed and that sort of stuff. But I mean, I'll go into what I've been playing this week, which to be honest is, it's pretty much nothing, to be honest. I mean, as I said last week, I mean, I've been playing more Pokemon and doing some breeding. just read what Matt's in chat. Yeah, send us some Yellow Dye number 5. Yeah, I know. I've been playing some more Pokemon. We have the Pokebank app coming out in the next couple of days on Friday. It's already out, I think, in Japan and Korea at the moment. But yeah, I'm looking forward to actually getting access to all of my my Pokemon from my, you know, from Black 2. I mean, I'll send them all over, and I'll have all the complete national decks. I'll have my Oval Charm and my Shiny Charm because I can send over my Xerneas from my X version to my Y version. Fill up that Pokedex. I'm just looking forward to having access to all the ones I want so I can carry on with the breeding, because I'm still doing the breeding. I'm trying to breed a pretty perfect Gyarados at the moment. It's not going too well. It's taking ages. I mean, I bred one that's not the right ability that I want, but it has 4 perfect IVs, so I might just use that as a side one. But, you know, it's all going well. I'm sort of going through all the Pokemon that I have, checking their IVs, you know, see if there's any good. If not, I'll just, you know, releasing them. It's a bit slow work, to be honest, because it does take ages breeding. But I mean, if I get myself the Oval Charm, I get the the Shiny Charm, and then I can start breeding my. Because I mean, I bred 2 perfect Charmanders near enough, 4 perfect IVs on each, and then I just want to breed them together with the Shiny Charm. Try and get another Black Charizard eventually, hopefully with 5 perfect IVs, which would be great. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting access to the other ones so I can breed some bits and pieces together. I need to teach moves to some of the Pokemon, then send them over, and you know it will be a lot easier for me to start, you know, competitive breeding, because I've been working on different teams. I mean, because it's so weird. I was like, I watched this video and this guy's team looked pretty good, so I might take that and sort of make some twists with it. Then I thought, no, I'll go back to this old one that I was going to do. And I thought, no, I'll do a variation on it. And it's really hard to tell because, I mean, I have been watching some of the videos from, because, you know, I think I talked about the winter event that we had in the UK about, was it some 20 street pass locations across the country had like a sort of their own version, their own sort of mini regional tournaments. And I think it was the three best of each one got to come down to London. And this was, I think, like 3 or 4 weeks ago now. And battle it out in the final in some secret location. You know, trying to have some sort of team together so that I can enter and, you know, hopefully do well. But I mean, I've been watching loads of different videos, learning loads of different stuff. And it's one of those things. I need the time to practice and put a team together. But hopefully now that we've, you know, sending these new ones across, you know, sending the ones from my other versions across, I can sort of breed them together with other ones to get moves sent over. And, you know, hopefully it'll work. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it though. It's one of the few things I'm looking forward to. I mean, you know, I mean, Christmas is tomorrow. I'm not too fussed. I mean, just, I walk down the street. There's pretty much no lights on any houses. I mean, I've pretty much lost my Christmas spirit. There's nothing really to look forward to about it, to be honest. But I think I'm just getting to that age where it sort of doesn't really mean anything. It's just another holiday, you know. Not like we have many holidays anyway. But yeah, I say, you know, pretty much Pokemon is all I've been playing. I actually thought today about going about to pick myself up a new game for something to play, but there's nothing I really want. I mean, I have been sort of, putting a date in mind of when I do want to get a PlayStation 4, because I do want to get one first. I mean, there was talk about of a bundle of a PlayStation 4 with the copy of the games, with the game Watch Dogs. If that comes out in the next couple of months when the game actually is ready to come out and not delayed, I want to get myself a PlayStation 4 Watch Dogs bundle. And, you know, it will be, that's basically that, because I mean, that it does want, I do want that to be my first game. I mean, my mate at work had a magazine that showed like all the different games that we've got coming out next year. So many good games. Destiny. I mean, half of them aren't coming out until this time next year anyway. But I mean, we've got Destiny, Watch Dogs, Titanfall, The Division. I know me and Matty are going to play that. So much other stuff that's, you know, that I just want to play. But I mean, you know, I'm sort of not exactly done with this gaming generation. I mean, I've got other games I want to play. I still need to finish Resistance 2. I need to borrow my mate's copy of the new Ratchet and Clank game. Several other different things that, you know, I want to get around to playing. I mean, I have to go through some of the God of War's games. I need to finish off Resistance 3. I need to sort of question whether I should pick up Killzone. I've got Infamous to finish. A bunch of PlayStation stuff. Sorry, just drinking my whiskey and Pepsi here. That's good stuff, that. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff I need to play to catch up on various PlayStation games. I mean, I want to play some more Hitman Absolution, go through that again. I mean, I've still got to finish downloading Gears of War. Hopefully that's still on there to download off my Xbox. You know, I mean, just think, that's pretty much why I didn't bother, or haven't bothered, buying any new games, because literally I have the stuff to play, but it's just making time for it, that sort of stuff. I mean, I as you know, I'm always into my Pokemon, but I'm really into it now, just trying to get all the stuff done. I mean, as I said, when we do get, you know, I get the Ogre Charm, I get the Shiny Charm, and literally breeding will be done so much quicker. You know, because literally the steps it takes and the amount of eggs hatching, it should be pretty quick. And, you know, most of the stuff I pretty much got under wraps. I mean, my big plan for the breeding Pokemon was just breed all the ones I didn't have, like perfect IVs in each of them. But some of them I'm not even going to bother with, at the moment. I'll wait until stuff is needed. I mean, because I need to build myself a competitive team, because I mean, June is when the next national tournament is. I mean, we've had the winter event. Is there going to be a spring event or a summer event? I mean, in America they are so lucky, they get regional tournaments and, you know, winter regional, spring regional, summer regionals, stuff like that. But we just get one national tournament, and if someone fancies doing a tournament for whatever, that will happen. But I don't know. But it's going to be good if we do get more interaction. I mean, I am looking forward to the PokéBank stuff. Because supposedly we're getting a Celebi, which I'd rather have a Mew, to be honest. There's a legendary Pokemon to get, but we're getting a Celebi. It's going to be level 10. I mean, I think I've got a news article about it. But it is going to be really good. But yeah, I mean, so I haven't played too much because it's Christmas time. There's nothing much to play. I don't think I'm getting anything gaming-wise for Christmas from any of the family members. I mean, I did think about picking up some 3DS games that weren't Pokemon-related. But I mean, as it's 8:15 now on a Christmas Eve, everything's definitely going to be closed and I'll probably have to wait till the weekend when I'm off. So I'll probably pick something up then. But yeah, I mean, you know, next week is the Game of the Year show. So make sure you get your submissions in, you know, and I look forward to reading it out on the air. But I'll say I'll go straight into a news topic because literally I have no real things to discuss this week because literally it's a bit of a, you know, there's nothing happening. I'm sure there's nothing happening in the news either. So some of these topics might be a couple of weeks old, but it's very. I mean, there's not much going on. I mean, the websites I go to get the information, even some of the newer ones where they have a ton of information, there's not much, to be honest. It's pretty dry. There's not much decent stuff in the works. But we will start with Nintendo as usual. You know, start with the worst. What have we got here? Let's have a look. Sorry, just scroll down while blow things loading. Nintendo isn't affected by fan campaigns or petitions. This came out at the beginning of December. Nintendo has claimed that fan campaigns and petitions have no effect on the company's business decisions. That's according to Nintendo of America's head, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who told Silicon Era, okay, that fan requests had little effect on whether the company localized titles or not. The comments were made following questions about Operation Rainfall, a fan campaign that sought out local. Sorry, getting tongue tied. Hang on, one sec. Let me have another drink. I'll just get myself some alcohol in my system. That sought localization of Japanese Wii games, Xenoblade Chronicles, The Last Story, and Pandora's Tower. All three of these titles were eventually released in the West. I was reading about this all the time it was going on. I mean, to be honest, if I had a Wii, I'd want to play these games because actually, from what I saw, they all look really good, to be honest, and you know, worth playing. I mean, to be honest, I should pick up a Wii, but I'm so off Nintendo. It's just, why should I give them money for this? And you know, I'm just off Nintendo at the moment. I think this is what Reggie's saying. I have to tell you, it doesn't affect what we do, he said. We certainly look at it and we're certainly aware of it, but it doesn't necessarily affect what we do. I wanted to bring Xenoblade here. The deal was, how much of a localization effort is it? How many units are we going to sell? We are going to make money. We are literally having this debate while Operation Rainfall was happening. We were aware that there was interest in the game, but we had to make sure that it was a strong financial proposition. The big hype and shouting about, you know, Operation Rainfall for, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles, it was huge. It was everywhere. I was hearing it on all the gaming sites, you know, all the shows were talking about it. I think this was back when I started as I was stopping to listen to shows. It's like, people want to play this game. There's huge hype and uproar. It's like, they want to play these games. These games look amazing. The graphics are pretty good, even for a Wii. And the story looks, and some of the games that didn't look good had pop great story. It was just so much for these games. And, you know, Nintendo were dragging their feet. I don't know. See, this is my problem with Nintendo. They drag their feet and they just don't do what they should be doing. Because they think, you know, they're not exactly better than everyone else, but we'll do things at our own pace, but to be honest, at your own pace is basically at a snail's pace. Reggie carries on. He says, I'm paid to make sure that we're driving the business forward. So we're aware of what's happening. But in the end, we've got to do what's best for the company. The thing is, we know about petitions is that 100,000 signatures doesn't mean 100,000 sales. Well, I'd love to be honest. I mean, that's that I can agree with that. But to be honest, I think you at least get 80% of, you know, signatures would be sales and not, you know, more people just signing on just to sign for it. But, you know, to be honest, 100,000 copies for a Wii is pretty good considering how much the Wii sold. But, you know, and word of mouth and, you know, people seeing the game and reading what it's about. I mean, just that's sort of where we've gone down the wrong path with games these days. It's like, we sort of, I mean, as I've said, we graphics are only going to go so far. You need to push what you can actually do in the game, things that, you know, make you want to play it. You know, I don't know. It's not hugely surprising to discover that game companies don't set much store by fan petitions, seeing as we're still without an announcement about GTA 5. Oh, excuse me. About GTA 5 on the PC, despite a Rockstar petition having received over 600,000 signatures. To be honest, I'm not fussed about the GTA 5 on the PC. I mean, every other GTA game has come out on the PC. This will eventually. It just takes them a bit of time to do transition, that sort of stuff, the, you know, trying to port it over. But I mean, just at the end of the day, when it does come out, you're still going to get the, you know, it's still going to be modded like crazy. You know, I mean, the amount of different mods I've seen for GTA 4, you know, I've been watching videos and stuff all the time. It's like, you know, it's going to come. Just give it time. I mean, just if you're in such of a hurry, and, you know, as any PC gamer, you know, you've got all the money to buy new cards and new boards and chips and, like, you know, stuff I talked about last week. It's like, well, just buy a console and play it on that. I mean, you know, the game's been out for a couple of months now. I've already on my sort of my second playthrough. I'm near the end. You know, just pick it up. Don't, you know, it's there. Play it. I mean, if I wanted to play a game bad enough, there's no reason why anything would stop me from wanting to go and pick it up. I mean, you know, if I needed it on another console, I'd go and get the other console. But, I mean, we can think of it as a pretty much a console exclusive at the moment. I mean, PC gamers, if you've got, you know, money to spend, go buy yourself a console, you know, and play it. I mean, the Xbox 360s and PlayStation 3s are pretty cheap at the moment. Pick yourself up one, used or whatever, you know, barely working. Get a copy of the game. There's got to be some second-hand copy somewhere. Put it in, play it, you know, play it, get done with it. I mean, these 60,000 signatures, it's nice, but the choice, the game isn't complete yet. I mean, I was reading some post on Kotaku before the show started, and it was saying about, you know, how good GTA, I can't remember what the fuck it was. It was about something about GTA, and it was a good game or whatever, or its problems. And I said, yeah, that's nice, but to be honest, you still haven't got, something to do with GTA Online, like the problems it's got about people hacking. Yeah, that was what it was, yes. It was about people hacking the money thing and basically screwing up the economy. And I said, well, that's not the worst of the problems. The worst is that they still don't have the heists. What the hell is it? The heists in the online game. I mean, I haven't played GTA Online in months, and when I did play it, weeks. When I did play it, it was because we got the $500,000 given to us. I went out and bought the most expensive apartment, and haven't touched it since. There's no need to. I mean, just give me the heist, and I will get involved. But it's apart from that, there's nothing really in it. This interests me. I mean, I know this will interest Stuart when he gets around to listening to this. There we go. Bloody pop-ups. Yeah, Hyrule Warriors could save the Wii U. I think this is a game that's only coming in Japan, but I'll carry on reading. I heard about it the other day. It does excite me. It doesn't make me want to buy a Wii U, but it does excite me. I'll tell you that. After a several month streak of underwhelming announcements, Nintendo used the most recent Nintendo Direct to reveal, Jesus Christ, I'm getting more American than buzz ago, to reveal a proper new video game in the Nintendo franchise, in the Zelda franchise. Tentatively called Hyrule Warriors, the game is being developed by Tecmo Koei, and it's Dynasty Warriors style actions title starring Link and other characters from the Zelda universe. It's due out in 2014 for the Wii U. While this is relatively big news, it's a new Zelda game. Yeah, it's fun. It's tough to get excited. Personally, this is from the the writers speaking out loud. So personally, I'm no fan of Dynasty Warriors series. Series is mindless, infinite man slicing, and I'm not exactly thrilled by Nintendo's endorsing it in this way. This is me speaking now. I love the Dynasty Warriors series. I mean, my first Dynasty Warriors, I think, was Dynasty Warriors 2. Fucking every time I play it, I'm always Yahudun. Great character, big guy, one eye, giant fucking sword, hacking down hundreds and hundreds of people. Dynasty Warriors games are great. I love them. They're one of my favourites. I mean, it is. That's the whole point. It's basically why you had, I think we're on 8 now. Every game is exactly the same. It's the exact same missions. There's updates and bits and pieces every now and again. There's sort of new characters. I think they added elephants and, other bits and pieces like that. But it is literally mindless, infinite man slicing, and it's just, just cutting through people again and again. And it's just, that's the whole point. It's a great big open battlefield. Just to interject, I did tweet to Klipaczynski, I said last week, because he was going about, wants to make an arena shooter, something to redefine it. So I did tweet him and asked what the hell, that means. I got no reply. So basically, in my opinion, he's talking out his ass. Considering, what I said, every first-person shooter multiplayer is an arena. We get a certain area, and we have to kill each other in it. That's it. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's what sci-fi. I mean, just there's other site Halo. That's an arena shooter. It's all the same. I mean, just I don't know. The guy's nuts, but we'll see what he can do. Whatever he's making. But chances are it'll probably be something like Unreal Tournament. I'll carry on with the article. One sec. What's this? Sorry, I'm just reading what Matty's writing in the chat. Carry on reading the article. But even if you don't share my prejudices against Tecmo's ancient beat 'em up, you may still be feeling the palpable mood of underwhelming confusion that seems to be surrounding the announcement of Hyrule Warriors. As it turns out, there are a couple of very convincing reasons for its existence. Thing is, they don't really involve most of you. Okay, let's see me by this. The answer is to the question of why Hyrule Warriors is a resounding because Japan. The Wii U is underperforming in Japan, having sold just over a million units. Having sold just over a million units there as of Japan, October. Jesus Christ, this guy needs to work on his grammar. And how he forms sentences. To give that number one some context, there are about 10 times as many 3DS units in Japan. Listen, all right. I'm going to make this very obvious for you, Nintendo. You have like 10 times as 3DS sold as the Wii U because you have Pokemon on it, and you also have Monster Hunter. Now, they're big things out in Japan. Now you have a Wii U, which is underperforming, but you don't have a proper Pokemon game on it yet. Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Colosseum, that sort of stuff. Make yourself a Pokemon game where we can sort of, play our Pokemon characters on the big screen, and you will sell Wii U's by the shit ton. It's very, very obvious. I say this like week after week, and I'm always pointing out the obvious things on, how your company can make money. It's very obvious. You make the games that people want to play. We want a Zelda game. You're making one, but it's not exactly what we want to play. So you need to make what we want to play and not pass it off as a sort of Dynasty Warriors crossover. We want Pokemon games. We want to play Pokemon on the Wii U. We want Metro. We want these games, but you're not making them how we want and as fast as we possibly can. And if you can't make them as fast as possible again, you need to get better programmers, better developers, better story writers, get better people, basically. I don't see the big problem, to be honest. I don't see why it's so hard. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Even Super Mario World, bring back the article. Even Super Mario 3D World wasn't enough to move the needle, which actually looks like a good game. But that's the thing. They look like they, you know, it does look, Nintendo does look like they have good games. But I don't want to play it on a Wii U. Why do I have to use a second screen? Why do I have to use a second screen, you know, a tablet style controller? Just give me a smaller controller. I don't need the screen on the controller. You know, whatever. Boosting month over month hardware sales, but ultimately coming in well below expectations with first week sales of any 3D Mario game in Japan. How did that stack up against Mario, Super Mario Sunshine on the old, on the GameCube? But no, but the thing is though, with the Wii U, you've got to go up against, I mean, people who are still buying the Wiis, people who are buying 3DSs, people who are buying Vitas, Xbox 360 is not much of a problem. I don't even think Xbox One's a problem because, you know, Japan hates America. But Americans can't figure out why that is. I'll give you a little hint. Two big giant bombs. That's why they hate you. They're buying, you know, Japanese people are buying, what do you call it, PlayStation 3s and PlayStation 4s. There's other stuff to buy. But the thing is, though, you need to track their attention. And that's basically by making the games they want to play. If you get some good trailers for this, I mean, I'm looking at some screenshots now of this, Hyrule Warriors game. It looks fun. You know, it could be good. But to be honest, the thing with Dynasty Warriors, I mean, I've talked about this with a bunch of my mates on Facebook. And it's like, well, there's several different characters who we like playing as. I think I was talking to Wingate, who used to be, you know, a couple of, a guest on the Brain Stew many years ago. And I think it's Katie from Talk Radio Meltdown. I was like, we all have our favourite characters we like playing as. But the thing is, though, when you play as Hyrule Warriors, everyone's going to want to play as Link. I mean, to be honest, are you going to want to play as Zelda or one of the many other characters that Zelda's been doubling as? You know, what the hell was the character from Ocarina of Time that she dressed up as? The bandages and stuff. Or that sailor boy suit that she wore in Wind Waker, and the other characters she's been doubling over the years. Everyone's going to want us to play the same character. I did like the Dynasty Warriors Gundam game. That was pretty good, but I just want to play as Hiro Yui. But everyone has their own favourite character. It just depends how it goes. I'll carry on then. Enter Dynasty Warriors. The franchise is a consistent earner for Tecmo Koei, with this year's Dynasty Warriors 8 selling over 200,000 units in the first week. Last year's One Piece themed spin-off being one of the best-selling games of 2012 in Japan. Really? Was there a One Piece spin-off? I mean, it was Wingate reads One Piece. I don't really read One Piece. I've seen the anime two episodes maybe, but it looked shitty animation and I just didn't bother. Even Dynasty Warriors 7 outsold Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword by a wide margin in 2011. Nintendo was in dire need of a decent installed base for the Wii U, particularly in Japan. And if there were any franchise that should hit their wagon in the East, it's Dynasty Warriors. It just puzzles me how they could be, so obtuse when it comes to this stuff. It's like, I don't get their thinking. I mean, yes, I mean, even, I mean, I still think they're thinking small potatoes. It's like, yes, they want Dynasty Warriors and Wolfram's, Link and half a dozen characters from The Legend of Zelda. But what's going to sell this game to the American market, to the Western world? I mean, who in Europe's going to want to play? I want to play it, but I mean, I know Chicken Legs, Stuart, he'll probably want to play this, but I don't think it will do so well in the Western world as it does in Japan. But considering how the Wii U's doing at the moment, I really agree with that article I read last week about how Nintendo should basically just drop the Wii U and just make a next gen console. It'd be so much easier. I see, it pains me even to talk about this stuff. It's like, it's very simple on, what needs to be done. It's just, Nintendo is so stupid at recognising this shit. I don't know. I'll finish off this article. Now the second season, second reason this is a good move by Nintendo is that we haven't seen a proper new 3D Zelda game since Skyward Sword. And it's likely we won't see one anytime soon, which is a pain in the ass. Even if you hate the concept of Hyrule Warriors with a passion, as I do, this is the bloke writing this article, getting a solid Wii U fan base established in Japan is pretty darn important to see to the future of Nintendo's franchises. No sale equals no money to develop proper new Zelda games. And to bring in more overly... it's really weird. I'm just thinking... I'm thinking out loud again. The way Nintendo seems to be going with their franchises is like how Sega went with Sonic. I mean, you know, Sonic games, everyone's tired of. They just, you know, basically just been running them into the ground, Sonic Heroes... Sonic is a werehedgehog, Sonic the Black Knight or whatever the hell that was, it's the same old shit they've been passing out, but they just need to, Nintendo needs something new. It just pains me to read all this stuff. But yeah, I think I'm pretty much finished as much as we go with this article. I want to see Nintendo do well, do something to come back and be something we want to play. It's just annoying. This article I'll have a read. They've got some IGN. Nintendo hardware still selling well in Japan. Newly released media crate sales numbers show Nintendo hardware had another good week in Japan. The data from NeoGAF for the week of December 9th to the 15th below shows sales from that week. Numbers following in parentheses show numbers from the week previous. Wii U 903. 3DS 50,846, and the 3DS, the extra large one, 130,000. That's a lot, 710. And the Wii itself, the Wii has certainly dropped off. But the thing is, though, people are still buying these consoles. I mean, they look at it like it's bad that the previous article, was it a million in October? Was it October? I think you've still got a million people who bought a console in a month. I mean, it's still slow going. To be honest, they do need to pull their socks up and focus on something, but they just need to, take some stock in themselves and realize what they're doing. This significant jump is linked to a boom in Nintendo sales games like Wii U Party, Pokemon X and Y, Super Mario 3D World, Animal Crossing New Leaf sold far better than. Far better than they had the week before. Two of those titles are Wii U titles and two of them are 3DS titles. But, I mean, the sales are still, people are still buying the consoles, but, it's just, few and far between. But you do need the games to back it up. Over here, this article here from CBG from about Nintendo. UK 3DS sales top 2 million units. Nintendo handheld consoles reach a new milestone. UK 3D sales was past 2 million units. The figure was revealed by trade publication MCV, and the combined sales of 3DS, 3DS XLs and the new 2DS. There we go. Yeah, the site also says that the 2 million sale milestone was reached faster by the handheld console's predecessor, the original DS. Nintendo said in October that 3DS sales in the first half of the company's financial year totaled 3.89 million units, compared to the 5.06 million during the same period the year before. The company is offering a free digital copy of Super Mario 3D Land to European customers as part of their 3DS promotion. To be eligible to request a free download code, 3DS owners must register their handheld along with one of 15 games with Club Nintendo by January 13, 2014. I might try this. I don't know if I can, but I'll give it a go. Participants can redeem their code and download the game to any 3DS, 3DS XL, or 2DS before March 13, 2014. Hardware and games purchased before November 27th but not already registered with Club Nintendo aren't eligible for, eligible for promotion. See, I don't even know. I think my 3DS is already registered, so I might miss out on that, which is a shame because that game, you know, Super Mario 3D Land, that was one of the ones I actually wanted to pick up. But, I mean, I'll give it a go and see if I can download it. But, yeah, if I can, yay. If not, then boo. But, here we go. This is something I saw as well. Because this, I think this is what I might call I'm looking forward to. Sorry, one second. Yeah, this is something else as well. There we go. Scroll up. So here we go, yeah. Nintendo offers 3D Mario Brothers Deluxe for UK 3DS owners. So basically anyone outside the UK, you're slightly out of luck. Registry network ID for console virtual console download. Nintendo is offering free Super Mario Brothers Deluxe 3DS download via its Join Nintendo Network promotion. The promotion is aimed at rewarding those who register or link a Nintendo Network ID on the handhelds, a feature that was recently introduced via the December 10th system update. Those who perform the registrations between December 10th, 2013 and January 31st, 2014 will receive a download code for the Game Boy Color title via email. Download codes will be sent out on February 13th and February 28th, 2014, to the email address registered to the owner's Nintendo Network ID, the company said. Via the 7.0.0-13U update, 3DS users can sign in to exist. So I know I understand why Android and iPhone have, you know, the ice cream updates and sandwich bar, or, you know, all those sort of proper names, you know, not proper names, but names for it instead of, you know, numbers and dashes and, you know, funny hand signals, that sort of stuff. Existing network IDs and deposits and share digital currency through 3DS or the Wii U. Nintendo warned that if you just users register the wrong Nintendo Network ID on their 3DS, they will be unable to combine balances with the Wii U. I actually did register this the other day for my 3DS because I think we need to access what the hell is it? We need to access for the PlayStation, not PlayStation, what is it, the Poke Transfer. I knew we were going with a P. Yeah, with the Poke Transfer, we need to have the network ID, so I basically like set it up, that way when I do download the app, it just, you know, works with it, and then I have to put the money in for it, and, you know, it was a bit tricky, to be honest, because, like, hang on, this ID, that ID, trying to work stuff out, because, you know, I mean, I just literally, I thought I had it registered already, so maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I mean, it does make me wonder now. Now that I've registered with this ID and that ID, will I be able to access, will I be able to get the Mario game and that Super Mario 3D Land game? Hopefully, yes. I don't know. We'll wait and see when I look into it a bit more. Try and find some decent stuff on the old Vita here. There's not much news, but I found this article today, and it does make me. Hopefully, it's some good news for the Vita. But yeah, I got this off Games Radar. Vita's lineup is ever expanding, but can a console survive on ports alone? I mean, trust me, I could have done this article last week. So both Joe Danger games have been announced for the PlayStation Vita. That's good news, right? After all, both are excellent. Yeah, they are. I mean, I played the first one. I think I played the second. I have the first one on my Xbox 360, and I have the demo for the demo for the second one. Joe Danger at the Movies, I think it's called. I have a demo for that on my Xbox as well. It's really good. I do have the Joe Danger game on my PlayStation as well. So I have it on like two different consoles. It's a really good game. After all, both are excellent, smart, funny, What's that? What the hell? Whatever. Demanding games packed with as many ideas as they possibly can cram into convenient bite-sized chunks of gameplay. A minute or two at a time as such, they're perfect fit for the Vita. And also, I think they're on the iOS as well. And if they're not, they should be. You know, they'd be fun to play on a, what do you call it, on an iPad. You know? I mean, we have that, the Crazy Baron game where he's on a bike. That's quite fun. But there's a problem here because there's another increasingly troubling connotation to the notion of a perfect fit for the Vita. As it develops as a platform, it's increasingly feels like games like Joe Danger are becoming a standard fit for Sony's well-meaning but put upon handheld in ways beyond the suitability, there we go, of their gameplay mechanics. Culturally, the Vita is becoming defined not as a worthwhile platform in its own rights, but as a dumping ground for old games and ports. But, to be honest, we call that backwards compatibility. In a lot of ways, Vita has now escaped its troubled early period as gaming's most soundly thrashed, handheld whipping boy. No longer is it that overpriced, overspecced, gameless handheld. I'm trying to actually wonder how much the thing costs because I have no clue. If it's less than 100 quid, I might buy one. But as we said last week, I think me and Fan were talking. I don't know any games for it. You know, apart from I think the Uncharted game they got, FIFA 13, whatever that is. You know, there's just nothing that's, you know, whatever. Give me one sec, I need to have a drink because my throat is a bit dry. Yummy whiskey. But yeah, as a effect. There we are. It has a few respectable exclusives either out or on their way, and those higher than necessary hardware specifications are finally seeing its wider library filled with a fairly steady stream of rather decent ports of big console games. But is that a good thing? After all, a console's worth is defined by not by the breadth of its lineup, but by the Unix system sellers amongst that lineup, which is exactly what this writer hit it on the head. This is what Nintendo needs to see when it comes to, you know, you need the, what did I just read? Hang on. Yeah, you need the unique system sellers. That's what you need. I mean, the Vita needs something. A Crash Bandicoot game. I mean, I've got an article that I will find once I've done this one about Crash Bandicoot. It's like, they need something. They really do. This person hit it on the nail on the head. This is why Love's Friend stuff on Games Radar. They know exactly what the fuck they're talking about. You know, I did kind of piss off some people from Games Radar with a comment I made about some awards show, but I said no, I love Games Radar. They're great. You know, my favorite people to get articles from because you know they actually know what the fuck they're talking about. Just their writing's a bit weird. The killer apps that give the format its personality, brand value, the exclusive appeal, but you buy into a console for the games you can't get anywhere else. That's a bit questionable. You know, I'm just thinking Bioshock here and Mass Effect. You know, eventually it comes to other platforms and, fuck, you look at the iOS stuff. You know, Grand Theft Auto, you know, we had San Andreas just come out on the iPad. 10 years ago, these were console games that come into handheld systems. I mean, eventually, sometime down the line, you will have some, you know, I don't know, Uncharted, like the original Uncharted game, might come to the PlayStation Vita 2 or whatever, as technology improves, stuff gets smaller, it's how things work. I mean, you look at phones these days, you know, how big they used to be compared to how small. I mean, I've got a tiny phone. You buy into console games that can't get anywhere else, blah, 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 blah. A console needs a healthy balance of both in order to be a real exciting prospect. A tip, I wish they'd get these fucking things right. Tip it too far to either side and you have problems. This is why Nintendo's failing. But yeah, in a way, the Vita is an interesting parallel in, there we go, to Nintendo's similarly struggling Wii U. Both formats are having difficulty carving out their niche with, the gaming landscape. Despite the respective companies claiming of, claims of uniqueness, both have a handful of genuine great first party exclusives, all too often tragically overlooked by the mainstream gaming masses. Tearaway, when I was at the Eurogamer event, people were going fucking nuts for this. They were handing out hats and stuff, like bandana hats. I saw everyone wearing them. I mean, you know, this game actually does look really, really good. And just, it would be the game that would make you want to buy a Vita. It would, but I'm just, you know, I've got, I want to buy myself a PlayStation 4 first. I think people were going, I'm just reading further now. See Terra Bay's miserable North American launch window sales, 14,000 for evidence of this on the week. But yeah, I mean, just the Eurogame, people are going nuts. They like all this, you know, we like all this sort of handheld stuff over here, you know. And where the Wii U is now almost entirely a first party machine in terms of software, Vita's increasingly non-Sony library is struggling to provide. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm wondering now. We're getting all this, you know, as I said, all these ports and that sort. It seems like what's happening with the Wii U is that was basically the port machine from Sony and Microsoft. They were porting all the games that they could, you know, port onto the Wii U from, you know. So this is so troubling. I need to reach out to Nintendo because this is pissing me off that they're not. This really irks me. It makes me angry. It's like there is so much you can do for your company, but you basically need to sort of, you know, shake your console to death, make something new, make people want to buy Nintendo, make it like it's 1987 again, make people want to give a shit about Nintendo, make some games, I was looking at an article before about Nintendo and their concept footage for the consoles and the actual games that come out. I mean, they were showing something from the GameCube about how Link looked like in using that, pushing the, you know, technology for the console. It's like, and then basically what we got was Wind Waker. It's like, you know, they need to sort stuff out. Your guys are lagging behind. This is why we had a few years ago. Half of Japan was turning to the Western world to make the games because Japan didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And this is proof of it. This really is. This is such a pain. This article goes on about, I mean, just looking at all stuff from, like, you know, they're showing pictures of Borderlands and, you know, they really need to sit down and take stock and have a think about what they want to do because Sony is going to, sorry, not Sony, I'm looking at a picture of a PlayStation Vita right now. Nintendo is going to go down the way of Sega, and then, I think Sony needs to stop making handheld devices. I mean, I'm just reading what Matt is writing in the chat. He says about the problem with Nintendo is its demographic. Yeah, I know, but most people in Japan are between 25 and 50. Then, I mean, that's why the Wii did so well. I'm just sort of reading each line as it goes. But yeah, Matt says, it's only profitable to market something they want and are familiar. Yeah, which is why we get so many sequels, but I mean, I love Mario. He's a great character, and his games are fun, and we all love playing it. I mean, my old man's got a Wii, and we play Super Mario Brothers on his Wii every now and again. I haven't played it for months, but, you know, it was like, you know, all of us going on screen playing the different characters, sort of bouncing around, having a load of fun with it. But I mean, it's sort of I'm playing stupid at the moment because I'm like, well, we all love doing this. Why isn't Mario selling? It's like, well, we sort of did that in the last Mario game and the one before that, and it's like, well, shit. We either stop we either stop making Mario games now, or I don't fuck knows what we do. You know. But to be honest, though, I don't get it. I mean, I'm thinking now. I mean, I'm thinking out loud. I'm thinking about, you know, you've got Nintendo, as you said in the article, making only first-party titles. But then think about what Valve are doing, where they're basically, you know, they're running Steam and the Steam Box, and they're working on more technical stuff, not actual, you know, games that we want to play. I mean, every PC gamer out there is literally, I can feel their tingling in the force. It's like, yeah, they want more Half-Life, but Valve's not making Half-Life. And, you know, with Nintendo fans, it's nice that, you know, they're all screaming out for Zelda, but, you know, shit. Maybe a Metroid game. I mean, I've never really fully played a Metroid game. But, yeah, I mean, make a Metroid game. Make a Star Fox game. I mean, that's the thing. I've said it week after week. Nintendo have a massive back catalogue. I mean, I know this whole article was to do with PlayStation stuff, but, I mean, PlayStation are okay. They're fine where they are. But, you know, Nintendo have a whole backlog of characters. Like, you know, as I said, Star Fox. Is it F-Zero? That's a great racing game. Great racing game. You know, Kirby's good. And, you know, it's fun for all the kids, and, you know, parents love it and that sort of stuff. But there is so much stuff that can be done with Nintendo. You have such, you know, whole characters of, you know, that have been entertaining, you know, people of all ages, all generations for the past 30 years. And it's like, you're not jumping on this. It's so fucking obvious, Nintendo. Come on, wake up. It does. It just pisses me off. It's like, you know, why can't you be... You know, so why can't you see what you're doing? You have no clue. Get rid of this Reggie Fils-Aimé guy. The guy's a nut job. He just stop letting him do your talking. Get rid of Iwata, because that guy's a dumbass as well. I think it's Iwata. Yeah, I think so. You know, make your Pokemon games. That's fine. If you want to sell more 3D Wii U's. Make the games that people want to play. You have your character. Your system is, your company is known for these first party characters, Metroid, Zelda. I mean, I'm saying this shit week after week. It's very simple. You do it. You make the games. It's like, if you haven't got enough stupid. I mean, just where I was literally, when I used to listen to gaming podcasts, I'd hear about how the 3DS, the DS, the Wii, printing money. It shocked the turnaround that we had from the GameCube. It's like, you know, how that didn't really sell anything. And, you know, I mean, just if you can't do this, you might as well just drop out of the race and just make more 3DSs, make more console, make more handheld devices. I don't know. It just pisses me off. It really does. I'm going to take a break because literally I've got more articles to get to. But I want to have a little rest first, and I will get back to it in about 11 minutes. And you will also hear a new rejoiner that Matty did for me from the South Park Minecraft episode, which was really, really funny. And I will see you lot in about 11 minutes. Take care, people.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your haircut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Dang.
Tune into the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Oh. Who are you joining next?
Oh well, Hippo Juice. They're the soul behind More right. Like Radio, and we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a Gentleman Show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Yes! What the hell?
Adam Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not painful on that! Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the Ultra Violent Underground. Go to CZWrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were going to say that, and I was going to ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, it's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, down to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Sexy betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah. Three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot! Stan... You're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son. I had to keep her. She's buried right in
my backyard. That's right, folks. She's buried right in my backyard. And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio. Hope you loved that rejoinder, Matty. Done that. Laughing my head off. I had to make sure the mic was muted, otherwise, literally, you would hear me laughing. That was such a great episode of South Park. I say this recent series of South Park has been amazing. Go and watch it. The Minecraft one was fun. I even watched all the PlayStation, Xbox ones. Very, very funny. I love South Park. It's one of my favourite shows. Hopefully when Archer comes back in a couple of weeks, we can, if that decides to start being good again, We'll have to wait and see. I say I've done a lot of Sony news and shouting at Nintendo in the first half. I have some Minecraft. Some Microsoft. So that's a game I haven't played in ages. Some Microsoft stuff. Fable Anniversary has been dated. This came out a couple of weeks ago. Microsoft has announced a Fable Anniversary release date of February 4th, 2014 in the US, February 6th in Asia, and February 7th in Europe. Lionhead Studios High Definition Xbox 360 update will feature new achievements, leaderboards, an updated save system, and a fully 1080p visual with lighting and animation powered by the Unreal 3 engine. Beyond cosmic improvements, beyond cosmetic improvements even, the studio is also planning to add content to Fable Anniversary, starting with smart glass functionality. The game is a remastered version of 2005's Fable The Lost Chapters, an expanded version of the first game in the series, which launched on Xbox a year later. The project was originally scheduled for release in 2013. But yeah, I'm just sort of looking at, I'll pop this in the old chat room for, I know because Matty's in now, I'll have a look at this. I mean, I loved the original Fable. I mean, that game was amazing. But yeah, I'm just sort of looking at, just looking at the characters. I mean, was the guy's name Thunder? I think it was, I don't know if this is the main character. But yeah, I mean, it was like I think it was Thunder who was like Whisper's, brother. Just look at him, and then you had the main character. Oh, God, this game looks so amazing. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Fable. Fable 1 was great. Fable 2 was really good. Fable 3 was a bit shit. But, yeah, I mean, I can't wait to play this game when it comes out. Hopefully my Xbox will, you know, allow me to play stuff again. I don't know, hopefully. Here we go. This is something I thought this was just someone making a joke. But, yeah, we got this is my IGN. The new Xbox documentary series kicks off with E.T. Landfill Excavation. The infamous Atari 2600 E.T. Landfill site will be excavated in the first film of the Xbox exclusive series. I mean, Charles, I know E.T. on the Atari 2600 was like the worst game ever. I mean, Charles, you pretty much couldn't play it. But I'm thinking, I heard that was basically with a landfill somewhere. I thought that was a joke. But it turns out, they were serious about this. One of the first projects to be produced by Xbox Entertainment Studios will be a documentary series available only on Xbox One and Xbox 360. But no doubt someone will probably put it on YouTube. Microsoft announced today. The first of the three first of these episodes will be a documentary covering the excavation of the landfill site containing copies of the infamous bad Atari 2600 game E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Hang on, I'll read this and then I'll add my two cents to this. Word of a potential documentary on the subject surfaced early this year when Fuel Entertainment announced that it had reached a deal to excavate the site, landfill site in New Mexico. The Atari 2600 game E.T. was rushed to market in 1982, the year of the film's release, in order to be able to time for the holidays. Be available in time for the holidays. As a result, the final project was a disaster and is often regarded as the worst game of all time. You add that with Superman 64, and a bunch of others. While its role in causing video game crash of the video game crash of 1983 tends to be exaggerated, the game was so bad that Atari was left with tens of millions of unsold units, with copies were which Atari reportedly dumped into a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Today's announcement notes that Fuel Entertainment approached Xbox about the documentary, leading to the involvement of Lightbox, the media company headed by Simon and Jonathan Chin, who produced the series. Simon has twice won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Film with 2008's Man on the Wire, and then with the 2012's Searching for Sugar Man. I haven't heard of either of those documentaries, but good for them. Jonathan, meanwhile, won a Primetime Emmy for American High, a documentary series that followed the lives of a group of Illinois high school students in 2000. Never heard of that either, but I have no idea why that would be entertaining, but I'm going to actually look this one up, see if it's on YouTube. Our collaboration with Xbox offers an unparalleled opportunity to make a unique series of films about the extraordinary events and characters that have given the rise to digital age, said Simon Chin in a press release. Jonathan Chin added, our goal is to produce a series of compelling entertainment docs which will deploy all the narrative technique of Simon and my previous work. It's particularly exciting to be partnered with filmmakers like Zach Penn, who comes to this process from other filmmaking disciplines, who will bring their own distinctive creative vision to this. The documentary will cover the rise of Atari in addition to the excavation itself, when it begins being filmed in January. Also, haven't you started filming it yet? Okay. It'll be directed by Zach Penn, a writer on movies like X2, X-Men The Last Stand, which I suppose isn't really worth adding to your resume, and The Avengers. It's released in release scheduled globally, where Xbox Live is available for 2014. So we'll probably get it next Christmas. Microsoft is interested in proving... no one cares about that stuff. So. But yeah, I mean they're going to talk about... Matty says, we'll have another video game crash in the next 18 months. Yeah, probably. Oh, do you know what? I mean, it's weird. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, we're dead at the moment, but there's nothing to play. People are getting bored of Call of Duty. There's nothing to play. I mean, there's stuff to play, but... I mean, I'm playing older stuff because, you know, I want to play it. But, you know, we're waiting now. PlayStation 4 has no decent games worth playing. Apart from, I think, Killzone. I mean, Infamous doesn't come out for a couple of months. So basically, you've got a PlayStation 4 that has no games. You have an Xbox One, which is overpriced, mainly because it... Oops, excuse me. Sorry. Because it comes with a camera, which has no games for it, which I'm not interested in using. That's what I'm saying. If I can send the Xbox the Kinect 2.0 back to Microsoft and get some money back, I'll be happy to do that. I'm glad the actual documentary is going into more about Atari and that sort of stuff, not just, I mean, because I originally thought when I read this article, it's going to be, yep, we take a couple of JCBs down there, we dig up the site, yep, there's all those copies of E.T., and now what? I mean, trust, no one really fucking cares, and to be honest, I think anyone younger than me, 5 years younger than me, won't even know. I mean, trust, this game came out in, was it 83? I was born in 84. So basically, even when I was, you know, crawling around, I'm still too young to play this game. And, you know, no one fucking cares about this. You know, and Atari, they're not making consoles anymore. They're just making games, you know, sporadically. It's okay. It's part of gaming history, but, to be honest, gaming history isn't something that most gamers give a shit about. I mean, I watched the indie game, the movie. That was okay. But, I mean, you know, Phil Fish isn't really making games anymore. What the hell's the guy who made... I can't remember what the fucking game is. Was it Steve something? Simon something? What's his name? Jonathan Blow. There we go. Who made Braid. I mean, he's, you know, laughing on the other side of his face. But when you watch the indie game, the movie, you see how much he stole his game from Super Mario and Donkey Kong. Yeah, the classic Donkey Kong, you know, when it was throwing barrels. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch, you know, I'll watch it, but, you know, I'm not that fast, to be honest. It'll be something to watch. I mean, there's a bunch of gaming stuff here and there. I mean, you know, Netflix is a bunch of this stuff, no doubt. You know, some sort of deal will be made with them and we'll see something. But what else we got on Microsoft? And bugger all, to be honest. Let's have a look at some decent stuff. All right. Where is... here we go. This is what I'm really interested in. I read this before. I'd say this is actually quite funny because I was watching... I have been watching a lot of Cheers. I know, I'm a bit late on that. But no, Batman Arkham announcement coming New Year's Eve. DLC or next game installment? Don't know. This is from IGN. Warner Brothers is teasing an imminent announcement regarding the Batman Arkham franchise, set to be revealed on New Year's Eve. A post on Facebook reveals a special announcement we made on the 31st of December, though quite what it is it pertains to is unclear. Now, as you know, next week is, this time next week is the end of the year and will be the last show for a few months while I work on my little project. Hopefully I'll get to tell you what this announcement is before then. Hopefully, I don't know. This is visit the page on December 31st for a special announcement. More details to come next week. Read the accompanying text. What could this refer to is anyone's guess. The likelihood that it's a narrative-focused DLC we were told was coming in early 2014. There's also a slim chance that it could be the rumoured next-gen Arkham title. It could be but get it revealed, but that seems unlikely given that it'd be announced at a time when most people are preoccupied with seeing in the new year. I wouldn't mind. I mean, now that I've actually read it, it's sort of, I want to hear a new next gen Batman title, but I think my main focus is that I want Batman to be voiced by Kevin Conroy. As I said earlier, I've been watching a lot of Cheers, and I've watched one of the episodes with Kevin Conroy when he was doing, in his early years, acting live screen stuff. I was like sort of bouncing around like a 7-year-old. I was like, that's Batman. And he has to voice Batman in the new Batman game that we are going to get. I can't wait for it. I mean, if this is DLC, that's good. I haven't picked up the game. I know I should, but I haven't bothered picking it up yet. I'll do something with it. I'm not too sure. Matt used to say about, because it's about the gaming crash. He says gaming today is the inverse of what it is. What it was in terms of technology and imagination. It used to be an inch wide and miles. What the hell is he talking about now? Used to be an inch wide and a mile deep. Now it's a mile wide and an inch deep. Much like sci-fi in movies. I completely agree. But yeah, I mean, I want games to change, like, for the better, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, trust me, I'll go back to this Batman thing. New Batman game, great. DLC, great, but not what I'm after. Where's that one I found about Assassin's Creed? Hang on a sec. Is it that one there? I think so. Yes, there we go. Different Assassin's Creed games may hit current and next gen in 2014. This is from IGN. The Assassin's Creed series has already been annualized, but now we may be seeing two entries in the series being developed simultaneously. One for the next-gen platforms, the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and one for the current-gen platforms, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Ubisoft Sophia... getting a call. That's Matty. You all right, Matt?
Hello, how are we doing?
I'm good, mate. How's yourself?
Not too bad. I'm okay on the sound.
Yeah, you sound fine, mate. You sound fine. I'm an American pretending to be Scottish.
Oh, okay. No, actually, I'm not. But anyways, I just wanted to touch base on something you said earlier. Sure. I think it might have been right before the break. It just about right after. You were mentioning something about just gamers don't give a shit about the history of gaming. And it's kind of an interesting point. And before you, like, railroad over, I just kind of, like, want you to maybe flesh that out a little bit.
Well, I mean...
kind of interested in, like, your thought on that, because...
Okey-doke. I mean, I'm probably speaking, like, too shotgun with the what I said. I am, sort of, because, I mean, I do this show, and it's easily something for me to bring up, that I've watched this documentary, like I did with the Halo game, and... the Halo movie and the indie game movie. But I think I don't really speak for the whole gaming community, but most of us are just interested in playing the next game. I don't think many people are interested in looking back. I mean, I could say there's some sort of, I mean, I have a lot of nostalgia feeling to older games, but I don't think with the people who are nostalgic toward older games would be actually interested in going back so far
when it comes to stuff like Atari when it's, you know, from 30 years ago. But, you know, because, I mean, Charles, that's when the Atari was big and the Commodore 64 and all that sort of stuff. When you think about people who were playing it were, like, you know, 10 or 15 years older than both you and I are at the moment. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe, you know, maybe those kind of people are interested, but the way the game industry is moving at the moment, we're always after the next console, the new game. I can't really imagine there's many people who actually want to stop, turn around, and have a look back on what we used to have. But maybe they are.
Okay, fair enough. So, like, I don't know. Just because, like, I mean, it's just a bit weird because, like, on one hand, you know, you've just said, like, this show and previously that pretty much the well's running dry. You know, it's just another Call of Duty, another Battlefield, you know, on and on, another Assassin's Creed. And you're like, how long can that shit really go? And obviously the answer to that is as long as it sells. But we both know it's like, you know, there's probably like for all the current kind of like big sellers, even the Tom Clancy stuff is probably like, what would you guess, about 5 years tops? Like that's being really rosy.
Yeah, I mean, so you bring up Tom Clancy, but I mean, we're supposed to be getting some new Tom Clancy game, but that's not coming out anytime soon. It's kind of weird about how that industry is altogether with everything, you know. I mean, I'd like the gaming community to join together and be aware of all that's come before, along with all that's come that goes with the future. I mean, I'm sort of, as you were saying that, I was thinking maybe we can look back, like developers can look back and gamers can look back and we can get ideas for how to make games for the future by looking at what's come before. But then I think maybe we just get remakes and, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad thing though. I mean, like just having remakes. I mean,
yeah. Then we get basically where the movie industry is at the moment.
No, I mean, I agree with you. There's got to be a little bit of give and take between new stuff and, you know, reinventing the wheel or whatever you want to say. No, I don't know. It's just, I mean, cause like, you know, just like look at, you know, Royce and, you know, like Royce and Dutch, you know, like, what's it, Diablo 3 comes out and they're, how old's that game? They're still rocking it, like, every chance they get. And,
I mean, I know
Sims. Yeah, SimCity came out, they kind of like redid that, and obviously it didn't translate well into modern marketing or whatever you want to say, like just with the online and having to do everything on servers. You know, there's obviously kind of the technological hurdles to overcome, but so I don't know, I think probably realistically my prediction would be for the gaming future is basically a lot of the big studios you see now. I mean, you already see a lot of the weaker ones folding. Like, who was the ones in Montreal that ended up getting bought up by somebody?
Oh, THQ.
Yeah, THQ. I mean, and it's going to be just a domino effect. It's going to be larger ones. I mean, there'll be a couple of ones that get by or whatever because they're capitalized enough. But I imagine probably what you're going to see is, myself, I think you will see kind of younger startups because either the coding and just kind of like the whole process will become cheaper as technology, just, you know, the hardware you're actually creating stuff on gets cheaper. So hopefully we'll get a lot more niche games, a little bit like you used to get in the 90s, kind of like just on PCs before, because they were obviously the more powerful than, you know, Genesis or Master System or Nintendo or whatever. But no, I think you'll get a lot, you'll see like a lot of smaller upstarts kind of like start filling some niches again, and then also the older ones that still have enough money or whatever, they'll probably start dusting off things that were successful years ago that, you know, people that are our age, older, remember, like, oh yeah. So go ahead.
I mean, yeah, that does, what you say, it does bring up two thoughts in my mind. I think, you know, as I said earlier with the Tecmo Koei, and they're making another, you know, sort of the Hyrule Warriors. It's like, you know, Dynasty Warriors 8, and basically, as I said, Tecmo Koei, Dynasty Warriors is the same game, but people are still buying it year after year, and I've been playing their games for over 10 years. And it's like, how they can still make the same game year after year, well, near enough a year after you, and it still works. How is it that, you know, other people can't, and but you know, they go back to what they know and it works, whereas, you know, it's basically a remake after a remake. But then, you know, I think about, oh, what the hell was the other thing I was thinking? Shit. Lost track of what I was thinking now. God. I need two brains, I really do. But no, I, you know, that sort of stuff, when you think about the, you know, the gaming future, when you have companies like Tecmo Koei who make basically the same game year after, you know, same again and again, but I don't know. You know, say the games industry is weird. It's hard to judge. I mean, certain companies can do things to, you know, as I say, Tecmo Koei, they're making games and they're still around. And you think about Nintendo, who want to be basically doing what Tecmo Koei are, but it's just not working out for them because they're not pulling their finger out enough.
Yeah, it's you kind of get the feeling Nintendo kind of fancies itself as being the Disney of the video game industry, just because, you know, they have the established franchises and all the other shit with like Mario and Zelda. You know, they kind of like consider that like the Mickey Mouse and whatnot of video games. You know, just the instantly identifiable characters. So,
but that's the thing. Maybe Nintendo needs to take a page out of Disney's book. It's like, you know, Disney are jumping on all their characters all the time and making new movies and TV shows, and they actually know what to do with their characters. Whereas with the, you know, their IPs for Nintendo, they're floundering, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally true. I mean, I don't know. It's like you said, what was the last thing Nintendo actually did innovative? Was it went from Bowser to who the hell was it?
Oh, from was it Koopa to Bowser or Bowser to Koopa?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, but you know, it's just I really want Nintendo to do well and step into you know make it a three horse race again, you know. But unless they actually bother to you know get on the horse, there's no chance of a race.
Oh, fair enough. So basically, in the next 5 to 10 years, which current kind of like big names do you see still being around, or who do you think is going to be the first to go?
I think Nintendo will be the first to go, which is a pain for me, being a massive Pokemon fan. I mean, I know, you know, Game Freak makes Pokemon games on for the, you know, Nintendo handhelds. It will probably be a big shock to the system if they go to making it for, you know, PlayStation Vita, or if Xbox does decide to eventually publish, you know, bring out their secret handheld device that they've been, you know, working on for so many years.
What's that, the Windows Phone?
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I mean, there's been talk about some other device that they've been planning for years, but I think they probably know their best to sort of not bother with it. So I think that's why we haven't seen it, because I mean, this was talked about during the original Xbox days. So we're going back, you know, over 10 years, but we'll never see anything. But, you know, if, I mean, just what will happen now? I mean, I just think about, you know, how it happened with Sega. They don't make the consoles, but they still make the games. And we have, you know, we get the Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. I mean, if Nintendo goes down, are we going to get Mario, Sonic, and Master Chief at the Olympics, you know, for the Xbox One? It would be interesting to see. I know that, but I don't know. I could see Nintendo failing. I mean, it does question though what will happen to Sega, to Sony. The fact that Sony pretty much copies a lot of stuff from Nintendo with the PlayStation Move, sort of those dildo type things that were based on the Wiimotes. And you know, we have, because Nintendo is copying Apple with the you know, the iPad and the Wii U controller. I mean, it's, I think it's quite weird. It's sort of, you know, Microsoft has come out from sort of nowhere. They made a console. It wasn't too good. They made another console, and it was pretty much the best thing out on the market for the last generation, and sort of basically got picked to the post by the PlayStation 3, but it took them a long time to get started. But with Nintendo, they need to pretty much do the same thing to get themselves back in this race. And, you know, basically something I'd like to see. I mean, you know, I'm not negative to Nintendo. I mean, I love Nintendo, but it's just... You need to give everyone else...
Yeah, I mean, you love it like that stepchild that, you know, you always beat and put down, but, yeah, you know, yeah. They still got to own it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so many family photos with it.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had a picture of Dutch in my head now. But no, yeah, that's as best as analogy I can make. It's like, you know, Nintendo needs to be something again. So, I mean, I'm hoping that'll actually spark some sort of creativity, but I'm sure Nintendo needs to find their creativity to spark everyone else's. I mean, you know, Sony is getting their ideas from Nintendo. Nintendo is getting their ideas for Apple, and it's pretty much from this current generation. I'd say that Microsoft is basically what Nintendo was last generation. You know, they have the Kinect. I don't like it, but they're doing stuff with it. When we're going to see stuff with it, that'd be nice to know. But you know, all these modders are doing stuff with the Kinect, whereas Microsoft's not.
Fair enough. No, I don't know. I just trying to look something up real fast. Just on the whole, pretty much way all the cards are lining up just with the video game industry with just pretty much everything just, I don't know. I just kind of see a whole gaming collapse because, I mean, you just look at like the broader economics of everything and everything else.
What do you see happening? I mean, who do you see going down, like company wise, or do you reckon there's going to be some sort of? I mean, just
I think it's going to. Honestly, I know this sounds. I'm probably going to eat these words eventually, but I honestly see Microsoft kind of just ended up doing a face plant in the mud in the near future because, I mean, just listen to you because I mean, you obviously do a hell of a lot more gaming than I do, but. No, just, you know, just like with the Kinect and the fact they're trying to push that and the fact they're just trying to use their current market share, you know, as a way to kind of like goad and herd people more towards, you know, kind of just peripherals that
we don't need or want.
Don't need, don't want. And obviously, you know, they're going to try and push that harder with younger kids so they can get a longer term foothold on them. But... Mm. At the end of the day, you know, it still comes down to the fact there's millions of people like you and myself that are older and don't really want to flail around and that kind of shit.
No. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight recently. My sister's told me so, but I don't, you know, I'd rather just sit my ass down on the sofa and play games with a controller. But, you know, as you were saying about, you know, Microsoft... I mean, that article, I think was last week I read the article about the I think it was all the week before, about was it the Microsoft executive saying about how about closing down the gaming division. I was like, maybe he's got a point. Maybe he sees some that's 10 or 15 years ahead that, as you said, with the Kinect failing, and as I've said, with Kinect failing as well, maybe he sees that happening, and or maybe, to be honest, the whole point of a company and a business is to make money, make profits. If he can, like, you know, cut the throat of the Kinect and just basically just, you know, hit it with a rolled up newspaper and say, no, stop, no, don't do that, you know, and get rid of the bloody thing and then just focus on the console itself, maybe. But, you know, I think, you know, what Xbox plans to do is sort of like the Obamacare of the gaming world, to be honest. Maybe.
Good point. Of course, the whole thing with the Obamacare is who the fuck knows what that actually is.
Exactly.
No, it's just kind of like just getting back to what I looked at the article I was reading. Just even brought all this up. Just reading something here. The game companies are failing to understand that the games markets have not grown so much as bifurcated in games for gamers and games for non-gamers. The problem is that there are more non-gamers willing to play Angry Birds and Candy Crush than there are gamers. And second, that the mobile platforms are more conducive to non-gamers than gamer games. Or use hardcore versus casual if you like, blah, 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 blah. So in trying to chase both markets simultaneously, a lot of studios are pushing intrinsically self-contradictory strategies. Yeah, I mean, just now that I got my memory refreshed, I don't know. I think like just Candy Crush, Angry Birds, Zynga, you know, it's all these damn companies. I think they're kind of, because of like flash in the pans, you know, kind of like Atari or TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
You know, they might have short 3 to 5 year viability that it's kind of just running things off the road.
But I mean, it's the market.
That's, I think that's just kind of like what's bringing on just the expected crash here.
Yeah. I mean, it's the marketing as well. I mean, Angry Birds has its own TV series. There's shows and toys everywhere and, you know, they've made something that, you know, you can practice, it's literally you can play for a couple of minutes at a time and then basically just jumped on it with the marketing because it's sort of cute and adorable characters. I mean, it's like that Skylander stuff. Kids are going nuts for that sort of thing. You know, it's just maybe it's the marketing's in the wrong place or...
What the hell is Skylander? And
What was that, mate?
I was asking, what's actually Skylander? I haven't even,
It's from the Spyro, Spyro the Dragon series. I'm not exactly too sure what it is, but I know you get different, there's like, you know, dozens of different little figurines. It's basically sort of Pokemon, but with statues, like mini statues you can plug into in a device that plugs into your console. And each like figure's like 20 or 30 quid, they're very expensive. What I'll do is I watched this the other day. It's like an advert for Skylanders, and it's like all these kids going nuts because they're getting Skylanders toys. I'll chuck it in the Facebook group later, but it's really damn funny. But yeah, I mean Disney has it as well with the Disney Infinity, and Pokemon has it with Pokemon Rumble U. Basically, it's little different figures that you can plug in. It reads the IDs and chips and bunch of technical stuff that I don't understand. But, yeah, I mean, it's very popular amongst all the kids these days. I bet, you know, Sean from Hippo Juice, he loves this sort of stuff, you know. Gets all the kids into his van.
Oh, come on now. Sean can't afford a van.
No, I know. All right, his dustbin. But, yeah, it's one of those cutesy sort of character type things that the kids go nuts for and love. You know, it's basically... you know, Pokemon for the new generation. Because eventually, the only people who are still playing Pokemon at in this day and age are people at my age who do the competitions and stuff. You know, well, I say that a real Poker Girl, who everyone should like, go and find her Facebook page. She, you know, she turns 21, I think, in a few weeks or a few months. You know, she's like 10 years younger than both of us, and still play. You know, has been playing Pokemon for years, and you know, but you know. Probably the last cusp of it that when the Pokemon thing was going crazy, but you know this Skylander stuff is going nuts.
Yeah, that's what's up with the kids, huh?
Yeah, basically.
So, anyways, why don't you give us a little highlight about next week's show? What are some of the contenders?
We've got Assassin's. It's basically all the big stuff, really. I mean, I'll say it now. I mean, Devil May Cry. It's not going to be a game of the year, but it's going to be getting honorable mention. Dishonored, honorable mention as well, because it came out last year, but I only played it just after Christmas because it was one of my Christmas presents. Just basically all the stuff all the big stuff, Grand Theft Auto, Assassin's Creed, The Last of Us, all the big titles, they're all basically put in there, and basically I'll just say this is the game of the year. And, you know, it's nothing too special, but you know, I'm looking forward to explaining why the game I do think is going to be my game of the year is game of the year, just to you know get people's opinion. You know, but yeah, it's going to be a good show. But I mean, I do think about doing some other mentions and other bits and pieces. And, you know, but you know, this is probably about the first hour of the show will be game of the year sort of stuff, and then the second hour will be sort of news and topics and various other bits and pieces. But you know, it's going to be. Big thing, which basically I need everyone else to email in, get on the Facebook group, and tell me what your game of the year is for 2013.
Yeah, totally. Stop fucking around, people. Get your asses in gear. Get in there.
Yeah. I mean, Royce is the only one who's commented at the moment. But, you know, I will start calling names. With all my mates will definitely get involved if I start shouting out stuff.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think Chicken Legs' entry would be?
Probably Assassin's Creed, I think. I mean, I think you missed it last week because a fan from Austria. It was, I think his is going to be his Wii U, but his Wii board. I think from what he was telling me in the chat last week. that's an inside joke, just between me and him. But yeah, I think Stuart might choose Assassin's Creed. It's weird, you know. I'm trying to think about other stuff. I mean, you know, because I think about, you know, Sir Darkseid, you know, Johnny Five. I mean, he lost his bag the other day with his 3DS and all his Pokemon in it, and he's literally sort of, you know, running around Oakland trying to find his bag with all his stuff in. So probably, you know, his Pokemon won't be his game of the year, I think. But you know, it's I don't know. I'm quite happy with what I've chosen to be my game of the year.
So it was pretty much clear, decisive win for you. Yeah. Wasn't a horse race or anything.
Not really. I mean, there's other stuff that I should pick for a game of the year, but I have to choose this one because of what it means to me. Like, you know, like last year I did, you know, it was Far Cry 3, because basically how good it was and how it made me feel. And that's my gut. It's, you know, I'll go with, you know, when I choose the game of the year, what my gut tells me, not because every other website gave it 9 out of 10s and stuff like that. It's what the game means to me, how it makes me feel when I play it. You know, I mean, some of the ones that are basically, you know, because I said there's no 2s or 3s, there's some of them which I've played which are very close contenders, but I had to pick one thing over another, and, you know, that was why I picked it.
Okay, just finish derailing the show here for you.
No worries.
What would you say was the biggest story of this year? I know you're probably going to cover that next week anyways, but just now I'm just kind of curious. What would you say, looking back?
What, you mean actual game story or stories that's happened in the news about games?
Either one, just general video game news or whatever.
Video game news is probably best. I think probably about, I was thinking about the SimCity stuff. Because that's what I was going to say to you earlier, but you know, when you said it, I don't know, brought up about Technicolor, yeah, SimCity and how that was done. But I think it's basically the failures of both the launch consoles of the Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It's like how well they should have done, but haven't. I mean, even stuff that we're getting even now with Grand Theft Auto 5, how, you know, I think that post I posted on Kotaku about, I think you liked that post, I think, or I think Stuart did, about how, you know, we still don't have the GTA, the heists yet, and the game's been out for months. Maybe, you know, that as well. I mean, there's been so much, especially in the past couple of months, that's pretty much done it. It has to be one of those articles, I think.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And, what has been your biggest, what would you say is the things made you spit the most blood, bitch and holler the most this year for gaming, just personally?
I'd say either basically anything that I've said about Nintendo and probably Bioshock Infinite. You know, the people's love for the game, but the story's pretty much like Fight Club. I mean, I was talking with mate Sean from Boston on the Facebook page. And it's like, well, the story's pretty much Fight Club. You know, I probably can spoil it now after the game's been out for months. I mean, the father of you're the father of Elizabeth, the girl you have to rescue, and it's all about different universes. And it's like, well, you know, the whole big reveal. It's like Fight Club. Ed Norton's character is Brad Pitt. It's that sort of thing. It's like, it's not very original story based. I mean, just. There wasn't a real story to it. I mean, even when I did try the second playthrough of the game, it's like I wasn't feeling what I'm supposed to be feeling that everyone else is feeling, mainly because I can connect it to this. That's the thing. I can say it like movies. It's like everyone loved Avatar, but it's like, well, this shit, this is Dancing with Wolves, this is The Last Samurai, this is Pocahontas, this is Ferngully, this is, you know, so many other things that have come before. you know.
No. No, fair enough, fair enough. And what would you say has been the most pleasant surprise you've had this year for gaming?
I'd say it has to be the fun that I've had with Grand Theft Auto V, to be honest. I mean, you know, there's not many games that I do a second playthrough for. And that I did, mainly because the missions were so fun. And the fact that, you know, they let you replay the missions at any time you wanted once you'd finished them. You know, there's so much you can be done with a game that, you know, you want to play through again and have the same experiences.
What'd you notice on the second go through that you didn't pick up on the first time?
Well, I mean, I think about the big chase you have, sort of basically takes you across the whole map. There's a mission where Trevor and Michael are dressed up as police officers, and basically you have to chase these boy racers, these rich kid boy racers across all of San Andreas, the Los Santos, yeah, and that was quite fun. You know, you hit a car and you fail the mission because you lose catching up to them. But how I managed the first time playing it, managed to try and, you know, didn't crash, managed to drive as best as I could. And then the second time doing it, knowing what I had to do and still doing the same again and, you know, doing really well with it.
Yeah, sweet deal. So it's going to be PlayStation 4 for you. For next gen, you can purchase for Xbox One?
Yeah, it will be. So as soon as the Watch Dogs comes out, I'm going to basically jump on trying to get that as soon as possible. I mean, we'll have Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes coming out as well, so that will be one of my big purchases. I mean, you know, next year's going to be a big year for PlayStation 4. There's games that everyone wants to play that will be coming out, whereas we have now with the Xbox One, there's two or three games worth playing. But I mean, it's still early days. I mean, what 7 or 8 years now for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. We've still got a couple more years ahead of us. You know, it's still early days. And, you know, what can we see when it comes to various franchises that we have now? I mean, what are the new Assassin's Creed going to look like on the next gen systems? How far will the story go? Will we ever get a Dead Space 4? I'm hoping so. You know, I mean, as we can look back on when we originally got the Xbox 360, we have the Rare games, games done by Rare, who now do the Avatar stuff. Some sort of game where this little girl turns into different characters, and, you know, Viva Pinata, and, you know, that was the early stuff. You know, compared to how far we've transitioned between those early games, compared to, you know, say PlayStation, the meme I saw, it was like that crappy Gundam game that came out on the PlayStation 3, which I regrettingly bought, compared to games like The Last of Us and how good the graphics are and how good the storytelling is.
Oh, fair enough. So what would you expect to be your timetable for actually getting Xbox One then?
I've got money in my bank. I need to buy various bits and pieces, but if we can get a PlayStation 4 bundle that comes with Watch Dogs, then I'll pick it up because it will probably be cheaper. The game will be cheaper with the bundle because it will be bundled in. I'll probably pick that up straight away. But apart from that, I don't know. Maybe end of summertime for a PlayStation 4. But I do know I need to get one definitely next year. I mean, because there's so much stuff I need to spend money on the next 4 months, and I have money for it. It's just, yeah. I might have both consoles by the end of next year, but wait and see how money comes. And, you know, I've still got stuff to buy, and, you know, new glasses, new laptop, various other things, or, you know, money that needs to be saved for rainy days. And we'll see. It's, you know, it's 2014 is literally just a week away, and, you know, we're gonna have 52 weeks of who knows what.
Damn right. Just real quick, you going to Royce and Marie's wedding?
Yes, of course. Of course not. I wasn't invited, and I don't have enough money. But unless Royce wants to fly me out, and I will be his father for the wedding, then that's a good idea. If not, no.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you might be heading off for that. Wasn't trying to bring up anything sensitive or touchy there.
No, no.
Sound like we hit a wee bit of a nerve there.
No, no. I'm supposed to be getting dollars off the family for Christmas for the next time I go to America, but the money's not there. It's literally, I've got various other things to buy, and hopefully if I can save up, I might be able to go in 2015, if not 2016 maybe. I have no idea what I'm getting back.
Yeah, that's my goal too, you know, go back to America. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2015, 2016 sometime.
Yeah. What are you thinking about moving back?
Oh, no, no. Hell, I'd just like to be able to afford and go visit, see the family and everything. Trouble with it is it's just not worth it, just going for a week because jet lag. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of which, how did the jet lag hit you on the trip to Jersey?
Not too bad. My mum popped around the other day, got me a bottle of whiskey. I think you've seen that picture, haven't you? It was okay. I mean, because as soon as I got home, Uncle Eddie was doing ham radio, which is on earlier today, which you should be able to have their downloads. If you downloaded this show already, that should be up for download. But yeah, actually I called into his show and I was feeling a bit tired, but I sort of had a walk around and went to sleep for a few hours. It was okay. It was pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, sweet, sweet. All right then, well, that's, it's 40 minutes of your life you'll never fucking get back from me, so, anyways, pal, I'll see you next week.
Speak to you soon, mate. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And yeah, thanks for Matty for calling in. It's pretty much sort of nearly running out of time now, but I'll get over to the pleasantries. Yeah, as I said, the Game of the Year show is next week, so make sure you get your suggestions in. You can email it to antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can email them there. Or you can get yourself in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. As it's Christmas, do us a little Christmas present. Give me a Christmas present. Get me some more likes for the Facebook page, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, if you want to Twitter in your votes, or your suggestions of what your game of the year is, @MLRGamerRadio, it's all on Twitter. Follow us and I'll follow you, just to give us a shout. Also, don't forget, cousinjoeshow.com. Minimum donation is $5 to download his new CD track. You know, is 120 minutes of amazing prank calls. Worth a download. Make sure you download it. Poker Bank comes out in a couple of days. I can't wait. Next week is the last show for a few months while I work on my little project. It's been a good show this week, and the alcohol is starting to set in, which basically means I need to keep drinking. But no, this pretty much finishes off the show for this week. Thanks to Matty for calling in, and this will be up for available for download in a few hours. And you know, don't forget to say tonight we have Alcohol by Volume, which is going to be a pre-recorded one, and Dutch and Royce is pre-recorded as well because it is Christmas Eve. As basically they have friends and family to go and see. I am still stuck here on my own because I have no one to see. But yeah, which basically means I get to do my show. But say I will see you all again. Next week, Game of the Year show will be the last show for a few months while I take a little break, and I'll see you then. Take care, people.
Everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east, occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.